The American Federation of Labor had from the start resisted organizing the unskilled. It had demonstrated a harsh prejudice toward immigrants, blacks, and women because they were seen as a threat to the privileged status of highly skilled craftsmen. The building trades, the most guarded and exclusive of these crafts, were predominantly men of English and German descent. Under Samuel Gompers, the American Federation of Labor had watched the strikes at Homestead in 1892 and Pullman in 1894 from a cautious distance, never lending active support. By the 1930s, the Federation had accepted several industrial unions, but while it received their membership dues, it considered their concerns and initiatives secondary to its own pre-industrial heritage of independent skilled labor. The American Federation of Labor understood that any alliance with unskilled or semi-skilled workers would entangle it in the ceaseless division of labor introduced by each new mechanized process. Such an alliance would confound it with rancorous internal debates over the nature of class conflict and squander its finite resources conducting fruitless partisan political campaigns. Having witnessed the demise of the Knights of Labor and the Populist Party, it adhered to its own historical tradition of ignoring, even resisting, the unionization of industrial workers. More importantly, the craft unions within the American Federation of Labor had no quarrel with capitalism. Gompers believed labor and capital could coexist so long as men, quote, could secure a better home, better food and clothing, and a better life, unquote. This was called pure and simple unionism. When Gompers died in 1924, his successor, William Green, encouraged a policy of cooperation between labor and management. The craftsmen of the American Federation did not want to disrupt the feast. They only demanded a bigger slice of the pie.